Today's shir is Masechta Baba Kama Daf Mem Beis. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Mem Beis on an Aleph, five lines from the top. The Gemara again attempts to explain the pasuk that the Torah Kedosha uses, Ubal Hashar Naki. Says the Gemara, Tani Idach Baal Hashar Naki. Another Bryson trying to explain the words Baal Hashar Naki. Rabbi Yosef Glili Omar, Naki Midmei Vlodus. Tarak Dosha says, "Kinotzu anoshim, if men are attacking each other, v'nok for isha hara, and they attack a pregnant woman, v'yotzu yiladeha, and she miscarriages, v'lo yasa anish, kashi yasha salav bal isha. If no one dies, we have to pay, as we will learn, the mei v'lodis, the value of these children." Who were miscarried. And comes Rabbi Yosef Glili say that a tam does not have to pay the chatzi, the half. Normally, as we've been learning throughout a masechta, a tam pays chatzi nezek. Tarek Dosh is teaching us here that that is not the case by the mei velodis. The tam does not have to pay chatzi the mei velodis. Omle Rabbi Kiva. So Rabbi Kiva says to Rabbi Yosef Glili, Hareu Oimer. The pasuk that we just quoted that speaks about the Dmei Velodis, Ki Notza Anoshim. The Torah says about men attacking each other. Anoshim V'lo Shvarim. So isn't the pasuk only referring to a situation when men did damage to each other and caused a miscarriage? This whole halacha doesn't speak about animals attacking, and therefore, the Gemara's question is, how could you say that the Pasuk is coming to teach us about a tam or whatever, when the Pasuk is not speaking about a miscarriage that was caused to the miscarriage that was caused by an animal, when that's not the subject of the Pasuk? And says the Gemara, Shapa Kam Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva makes a very valid point, asked the Gemara. How will Rabbi Yosef Glili defend himself? Answers the Gemara, Ama Ula Breder of Idi Itzrich. We need the Pasuk of Naki to teach us the Sakadat Chamina. If we only had the word Anoshim, we'd say Anoshim V'lo Shmorim, not animals, Hadoim L'Anoshim. Anoshim. Ma Anoshim. Where we speak about a person doing damage. So as we've learned in our Masechta, the rule is that Adam Mu'ud La'ilam. So Af Shvarim, we would learn that a Mu'adim, the only an animal that's a Mu'ud, pays Mu'ud. Hatam, but if it was an animal that was a Tam, Mechayiv, would pay. In other words, when the Pasuk, if we only had the Pesukim as stated that we would say that when the Torah is exempting animals, it's exempting animals which are similar to people. A person, as we've learned, is always a mu'ud, or the mu'ud lo'olam. So this animal that's the corresponding animal to a person is a mu'ud. And that's what the Torah is saying, doesn't pay, such an animal doesn't pay for damages. But a tam, we would suggest, hatam, we would say, mechuyiv, would be chay for velodis. That's why we have to have another pasuk, kos rachmana baal shanaki, the potter, that a tam doesn't pay the mei velodis. This is the way Rashi learns the Gemara. This is the way we learn. This way we're going to learn the Gemara as well. Tosfos, as the Gemara is obviously going to ask in a moment, this doesn't seem to make any sense. That how would we say that a tam should be exempt, a mu'ud should be exempt, and a tam should be chayiv? And because of that question, which the Gemara is going to ask the question the way Rashi is learning the Gemara, Tosfos learns the Gemara. What the Gemara meant to say is that of course a mu'ud should pay more than a tam should pay. What the Gemara is saying is that a mu'ud should maybe only pay the chatzi, the mei velodis, says the Gemara Amar Rava. But again, going back to the way we learned, it doesn't make any sense. Yitziva be'ara, the person who's a guest is being treated different in an inferior fashion to the Geur B'Shmei Shemayim, that the Ger, the stranger, is being treated better. It doesn't make sense that we should take a stricter approach, that the Pasuk should even need to tell us that we're more lenient with a Tam, that we're lenient with a Tam and not with a Mood. Of course, a Mood we should treat more seriously. I saw a very nice Vart, Alpi Drush, Yitziva Ba'ar of a Geur B'Shmei Shemayim, is coming to teach us an attitude on how we are supposed to live our lives. If we live our lives that Yitziva Ba'ara, that as long as we're in this world, we view ourselves as Yitziva Ba'ara, we view ourselves as permanent, then when we will come to Shmei Shemayim after 120, when a person will leave the world, he'll be like a ger. He won't have a permanent place in Shemayim. On the other hand, when we are alive in this world, treat ourselves as gerim, look at ourselves that we're here only on a temporary basis, then when we will come to Shemayim after 120 years, then we will be yetziva, then we will have a permanent abode in the Olam HaAmis. Says the Gemara, because of this, Ela Amar Rava, Rava takes a whole different approach to Rabbi Yossi Aglili's pshat. Ela Amar Rava, Itzrich. This is the way to understand. Sakadat Chamina, if we had the Pasuk of Anashim, we would learn Anashim v'lo shvarim, that had Daimel Anashim, that we're speaking about people that are similar to animals. The animals similar to people. Ma Anashim, the people that are being spoken about, Mu'adim, Af Shvarim Mu'adim. So, if that's the way we're going to learn, the Kavachimer, and then certainly the Tamid Batiri. So if a Mu'ad doesn't have to pay Velodis, the May Velodis, a Tam certainly would not have to pay Velodis. Hadakos Rachmana. Then the Torah writes, Balashah Naki, to teach us that seems to be superfluous, Tam Potter, to teach us that a Tam is Potter, and a Mu'ad is Chayiv, that a Mu'ad is Chayiv in the May Velodis. Amalei Abaya, so Abaya asked to that, Elam Ata, if that's the way you're going to learn, Gababoshes, we've been learning that we know the halacha is that if one person attacks another person, the halacha is that on top of the nezek, on top of the payment for the damage, you have to pay tsar ripu sheves boshes. But that halacha was only stated when a person does damage. An animal that does damage only pays nezek. He's exempt from tsar because the pasuk says ish kite mum ba misoy kasha osu ken yosun loy, and we learn from there ish ba misoy v'loy shor ba misoy. Ripu v'sheves, we learn from the pasuk of kamishpet hazeh, and boishes we learn from the pasuk kinatu anoshim yachtov ish v'echov. And that was the whole pasuk that we spoke about, v'chzika b'mavoshav. And from there, b'mavoshav, we learn from there that people pay boishes, not animals. But why don't we say, nami nei mahachi, why don't we take a similar approach and say, anoshim v'lo shvarim hadoim lam noshim, ma anoshim mo'adim, what people are we speaking about? A person's always a mood, adam mood lo'ilam, af shvarim that we speak about a mo'adim. And then we have another pasuk to teach us Balashah Naki, to teach us that the Tam is Potter from paying boishes or Mu'ad Chayiv. Although the Gemara keeps on focusing on boishes, the Ravid and the Rajba say that the Gemara's question isn't strictly on boishes. The Gemara's question is similarly on Tsar and Ripui and Shevis, but because they all travel together in differentiating in the obligation between when a man did damage, when a person did damage, versus when an animal did damage. Tosfos says that no, that the focus of the Gemara is strictly on the boishes payment. But however it may be, we'll learn from here, perhaps, that a tam doesn't have to pay boishes or the other payments, but a mu'ad does. V'chi taima, and if you'll say that Hachinami, that's the way Rabbi Yossi HaGlili holds, Hachi Lisni, If that's the case, the Braisa should have said, Baal Shah Nagi, Rabbi Yosef Glil Omer, Potamadame Velodis, Umiboishis. Why are we saying that the Naki is only on the Dame Velodis? Therefore, because of this question, Ella Abayev Rav Adamri Tavayu, this is the way they understand the Pasuk of Naki, according to Rabbi Yosef Galili. Because the halacha is that when do you have to pay for the Dame Velodis? As we said earlier in our shir, only if the woman who was attacked, this pregnant woman who was attacked, was not killed. But if, Rachman Otzlan, this woman would have been killed, then there would be no chiyuv of tashlumim. That's the application of the rule of kimle medrabanei. And the way to understand it is in the pasuk. V'loyi asin, only because Baruch Hashem, no one died, that's why onish, there's an obligation to pay for the value of the velodis. If there were, if there was unfortunately a death, then the person who killed is there's a kimle b'drabanei, and therefore there is no chiyuv for the velodis. So we learned the pasuk. If it was anoshim, if it was people that did this attack, ein osim b'isha, and nothing, the woman didn't die, that's when the halach is yonchu, that's when the perpetrator must pay the demei velodis. However, yesh osim b'isha, as we just finished explaining, if the woman unfortunately passed away, lo yonchu, then there is no financial obligation. V'lo yishvaris, but not by animal, daf agav de yesh osim, that even if the woman passed away, that doesn't exempt the perpetrator, or the owner of the animal, the perpetrator, Yonchit, also have to pay the Dmei Velodis. Teach us the Pasuk, Hadakasab Balashanaki, the potter, that the shor does not have to play the Dmei Velodis. Maskavla, ask on that the Gemara. Maskavla, so the Tosfos Rid points out that if this is the way we're going to learn, the way Abaye and Rav are proposing now, it means that the ptur of Dmei Velodis would be not just by a tam, but would also be by a muad. That's the way those Rishonim learned. The other Rishonim learned that the Abaye and Rav are still differentiating between a tam and a muad. Maskler of Adabar Hava, Otto Boson Talia Melissa, is the obligation to pay Velodis dependent on the death of the woman? But Kavana Talia Milsa, doesn't it depend if there was an intention to kill the woman? That's when you don't have to pay for the Dmei Velodis. But if there was no intention to kill the woman, the intention was to kill another person, then you have to pay the Dmei Velodis. So how can we explain the way Abaye and Rava propose that if from a Noshim there's a difference if the woman died or didn't die, because it's not necessarily that the case always. El Amar Vada Barahava, the way to understand is Anoshim, in the case of Anoshim, Kineskavnu Zelze, when the two men that were in battle intended to kill each other, Avgashesh Oshnam Be'ishan, even though instead of them killing each other, the woman unfortunately died, this pregnant woman passing by passed away, that's when you're unsure you paid Mevelodis. However, if they intended to kill this woman, then loya anshu, there is no chiv of Dmei Velodis because of kimleb de rabbinei. Whereas v'loy shvarim, because by the shvarim, afil neskav nelisha atzma, even if they intended to kill the woman, yon should have to pay Dmei Velodis. Kos rachman abal shah naki the ptiri, that there is no chiv of Dmei Velodis. Says the gemara v'kenki also rav chage medrayma. When Rav Chagi came from Drama, also Isam Asnisa Biyodai, Kavasir Rav Adabar Hava, he explained like Rav Adabar Hava just taught us. So the Maritz Chayis explains that what does it mean, Ki Osir Rav Chagi Medrayma? He says that after the Churban Ba'isheni, in the time of the Ba'isheni, and after the Churban Ba'isheni, the main place where Torah was studied was in Yerushalayim. After they began, the main yeshiva was in Yavna. That's where Hillel lived. That's Hillel and his descendants lived. That's where Rabbi Gamliel HaZaken lived. And then afterwards, they went to Bavel, and they remained there for quite a while. So Gemara says that Yehuda ben Tersoi left the Chachamim and went to he separated himself from all the other Talmidim who learned in the yeshiva, and he lived in the Dorim, the south side, because there was a very big machloikis, if a karmi chagiga may be brought on Shabbos. And what happened was that even though there was a dispute, they did get along in learning. And the Yaivitz explains is that he moved to Dorim, but the Yaivitz goes on to say that the word osom is stated twice. One is that he left his hometown, and the number two is that he left his yeshiva because of this dispute. Says the Gemara, Tanya Idach, another way of explaining, as we began our shir, explaining the words Baal Hashor Naki, Tanya Idach Baal Hashor Naki, Rav Kiv Amen Naki Midmei Eved. The pasuk is coming to teach us that if a shor tam did attack an Eved Kanani, he doesn't have to pay the shloishim shkolim that the Torah says that a shor muad has to pay. As we know, there's a special rule in the Torah that if a shor muad does attacks an Eved Kanani, we don't look at the value of the Eved Kanani. There's a firm figure of 30 shkolim that always has to pay, and the halacha is that a shor tam doesn't have to pay the shloishim shloim shloved. The question that Tosfos asks is, what does that mean when we exempt a tam from paying the shloishim shkolim? Does it mean that the special rule that we just stated of shloishim shkolim wouldn't apply, but the din of nezek, the din that you have to pay for damages, which we've been learning throughout a masechta, a tam is certainly not exempt from that halacha, would apply then as well? Or that the halacha is that a tam who attacks an Eved Kanani is potter altogether. That's what the Gemara says. Rabbi Kiva Amar Nakim Midmei Eved. It's not quite certain what it means, but certainly he wasn't paid a shloshim shel Eved. Ask the Gemara. We learned on Daf Mem Aleph Amar Beis when Rabbi Kiva said, when Beleza said that you, in that circumstance, that you don't have to pay chatzi kaifer, to which Rabbi Kiva pointed out, why would I need a pasuk to tell me that a tam doesn't pay chatzi kaifer? The Gemara said, Rabbi Kiva said, since we know that a tam always pays migufoy, the definition of paying migufoy is that we're capped at the value of the animal that attacked. At the value of the animal that attacked. We know that if an animal, and this makes no difference as we've been learning, if the animal that killed somebody is either a tam or a muad, it doesn't make a difference. The halacha is that that animal is put to death. So if the tam attacked, and now that tam that attacked is going to be brought to Beis Din and is going to be killed, so it has no more value. If it has no more value, of course, as Rabbi Kiva said, how could you suggest that they would have to pay? There's no reason that they would have to pay when it has no value from which to extract the payment. So says the Gemara, just like Rabbi Kiva brought up that question to Rabbi Lezer in our previous year, that question could be asked here as well. Why would we need a pasuk to tell us that the tam doesn't pay the shloshim shelevid? Of course the tam doesn't pay the shloshim shelevid. There's no way for him to collect it. The name Rabbi Kiva Lanafshe, why doesn't Rabbi Kiva say to himself, as he said to Rabbi Lezer previously, the tam's payment is always from the animal itself, and here, that the animal is being killed, so how would you be able to collect payment? There's nothing to collect payment from. Amrav Shmuel Rav Yitzchak, in order to support or explain Rabbi Akiva's opinion, says Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Kshakadim Ba'ala V'shachtai. What happened was, before Beis Din paskened that this animal has to be put to death, the owner quickly went and shechted the animal. Madatema. So there we would say, so we have an animal that was slaughtered, that may be eaten, and therefore has value. And therefore we would say, L'shtalamalei, that we should pay the knas, the 30 shkolim, or whatever payment, chatzi shkolim, half, kamash malon, hoilabak talahu, since the animal did something for which it's supposed to be put to death, afgav t'shachtei, even though the owner quickly went and shechted it, we don't use it to pay this obligation. So ask the Gemara, if this is a legitimate line of reasoing, ihachi, so why wasn't this stated in the previous year? L'Rabbi Lezer Nami, k'shekadim shachtei. When Rabbi Lezer spoke about chatzi koifer, why didn't he say the same teretz, that they shechted the animal before Rabbi Kiva said, how could you think that you should have to pay chatzi koifer? The animal is killed. There is no value from which to collect. Should have said the same teretz. Hachinami. And says the Gemara, Rabbi Kiva indeed knew that that could be a fair response. The sover, but what Rabbi Kiva thought, Dilma Islay Tamachrina, maybe Rabbi Lezer has a better defense than this, the Neimalei, and I want to hear what he has to say. But Rabbi Lezer, as we saw in that shear, that actually did not have a better explanation. So why ask the Gemara for Rabbi Lezer Nami Lishta Leishakad Meshachta? Why did Rabbi Lezer offer this teretz? Answers the Gemara, Amalach. Rabbi Lezer tells us Hasam the Neskan Lahargis Behema. In a case where there was an intention to kill an animal, the Karagis Adam, the Shar Lav Baktalhu Klal. The case was when he intended to kill an animal. The animal intended to kill an animal and kill the person. There, the animal is not chayiv misa. So there we would say that since it's not chayiv misa, so it has some value, therefore I would say it's rekar lamuti. Aval hocha, in this case, the mikar bal talahu, when the animal killed the Eved Kanani, the animal that kills the Eved Kanani is chayiv misa. In such a case, it's obvious that there's loytzar kra afgav de shachtei, that the animal is not considered something that has value that you could collect from. Rabbi Kiva asked the Gemara, if that's the point, that the animal that killed an Eved Kanani must be put to death, and if the animal that killed Eved Kanani must be put to death, vadi hachahu, and has no value, so why would we need a pasuk to say that it doesn't have to pay the shloishim shel eved or the chatzi shloishim shel eved? The Rishonim have an interesting discussion. We've learned many times that the halacha is that a person, if we want to testify against a person, and we want to sentence a person for something that he has done, what has to be done with him there. What is the din by a shor? Do we have to have the owners of the animals there? Some Rishonim say that you have to have the owner of the shor there. Some say you don't have to have the owner of the shor there. And our Gemara may be a raya, because the Gemara, if the reason is that the owner has to be there, maybe we'll say that the owner isn't here, and that's why we can't put the animal to death. El Amar Vashi, Hai Milsup. So Asi now comes to explain Rabbi Kiva's opinion, and he says, Hai Milsup Mikei Gravish Mili. I heard this explanation from a very great individual. Umana Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, Sakadat Chamina Hover Amar Rabbi Kiva, Af Tam Shechoval Ba'odam, B'Misham B'Moysen Nezuk Shalom. The halach is that when a tam attacked a person, when there was an altercation between a tam and a person, the halach is that the tam pays nezek shalim, not the chatzi nezek. So we would think that if that's the case, the same thing when the tam killed an Eved Kanani, The halach ought to be mishtalim demei eved me'aliyah. You don't just, you're not limited to collect only from the value of the time that did this act. And that was saying, the Gemara's been saying this entire Amid, this time has no value because it's going to be put to death, kas rachmana. But here, when it killed an Eved Kanani, therefore we would think that maybe you pay from aliyah, you're not limited to pay from the time itself, kas rachmana. That's why the pasuk comes to teach us, bala shanaki, then when it's a time that killed an Eved Kanani, there is no payment. Amalei Rav Zeila Rav Asi, v'taver Ravi Lagzizi, Rav Akiva this weakened his own claim because of Tanya about the Nezik Sholem obligation. The Tanya Rav Akiva Omer, now that we said that a time when a tax a person pays Nezik Sholem, Yochem, so we would think that just like it pays Nezik Sholem, Yishalem and Aliyah, it also is not limited to paying from the actual value of the attacking Tam animal. So we see that a tam always pays migufai, even if the other halachas weren't necessarily applicable. So back to our question. If a tam, Rabbi Akiva says, is always limited to pay migufai, if a tam is always limited to pay migufai, then our question comes back, why would he over here, why would we need a pasuk that he doesn't pay shloshim shaleved or chatzi shloshim shaleved when he has no value? Elamer Rava says Rava Yitzchok the way to understand Rabbi Akiva. Esakadat chamina shoyl hoyl umachmirina be'eved Yosef ben Chayim. We find that the Torah is particularly strict when an Eved Kanani is attacked. Sheben Chayim yofasela nois and sela. If one attacks a regular Jew, we look at the value of the victim. If he's worth a seller, we'll pay a seller. If he was worth shloshim, nice and shloshim. Eved, but when we speak about an Eved, yof a seller, even if the Eved was only worth a seller, the halacha is nice and shloshim. The Torah gives a firm payment of shloshim shkolim. So therefore, we would think that just like the Torah added this strict rule, the halacha also ought to be mishalm nami demei Eved min aliyah, kas rachmana. That's why the Torah says, Bala Sharnaki, that this is not the rule, and you don't pay min aliyah, and that's why you don't pay the kaifer. So Taisus says that our Gemara, Taisus asks, our Gemara said that the Gemara said that kaifer, that Eved is stricter than regular people. Why is Eved stricter than regular people? Because by Eved, you always pay shloshim. But ask Taisus, an Eved could also perhaps represent a leniency, because let's say the Eved is worth more than 30 slime. The Torah says you pay 30 slime under all circumstances. So Taisus says that the fact that the Torah doesn't look at the value of the victim, that concept, that principle represents a chumrah. Other Rishonim say a simpler teretz. It seems that shloshim shkolim is a very significant amount of money. And since shloshim shkolim is a significant amount of money, that it's rare that an eved should be worth more than shloshim shel eved. The Simchas Yontif says that what would be the halacha if the eved has no value? Would you still have to pay, let's say it's an Eved who's a sick Eved who's very ill, and so it has zero value. Would you still pay Shloshim Shkolim? Our Gemara, if we look in the wording of our Gemara, Eved Yof a seller, nois and Shloshim, when the Eved is worth a seller. So the Simchas Yontif seems to say that at least that has the Eved has some value, albeit a very minimal value. But if the Eved had no value, then the halacha is you would give shloshim. Other achronim disagree. And the achronim say that an Eved, there's a special din, as we're learning in our shiur today, that you always pay shloshim shkolim. And it doesn't make a difference even if the Eved has zero value. The Gemara used the word shavah sela because it makes sense that it has some minimal value. But that's not the defining or important factor. Says the Gemara, Tanya Kavasei the Rava, there's actually a brisa that supports what Rava says. The Pasuk says, Balashar Naki,
Rav Akiva Omer, Naki Mei Eved, says the Gemara, V'loy Dinhu, why can't we learn it with the following logic? Hoyel V'chai Be'eved, it will Chai Be'eved Shloshim Shkolim, V'chai Be'ben Chayrim, and when a regular person is killed by an animal, as we've been learning throughout the Masechta, the payment is Kaifer. Ma Kishchai Ben Chayrim, Chilakta Ben Tam Lamud, and we've been learning that a Tam doesn't pay Kaifer. Af Kishchai Be'eved, the Shloshim Shkolim, we should be in the Chalik, we should differentiate between Tam and Mu'ud, and say that only a Mu'ud has to pay the Shloshim Shkolim, not a Tam. Void, furthermore, Kavachaymer, we'll make the following Kavachaymer. Oba ben Chaym Shnoisen Kol Shavya. If the Kaifer is determined by the value of the victim, and still, Chalak the Boy Ben Tam Lamu'ud, Evid, Shenan Noisen El Shloshim, and a din shnachlo by tam amud, says the Gemara, loy. It's not a legitimate way of reasoning. Because, on the contrary, as we just said, machmerini be'eved yosef mechayrim. Actually, we find the Torah is stricter by an eved than by mechayrim. Because, as we just learned, ben chayrim yafa sela, nice and sela. You give according to what the value of the victim is. If he's worth a sela, that's what you'll pay. If he's worth shloishim, nice and shloishim. Whereas by an eved, yofasela, nice and shloishim. Yochel yechayiv, no matter how little he was worth, we will always have to pay the shloishim. So therefore we would think, yochel yechayiv, that you should also be chayiv, shloishim shel eved, by a tam, tamalayim balashal, noki, noki mit mei eved, that the tam does not pay. Tana bonon. The Torah Kedoshah says by Sharmud, vehemis ish aisha. So the question is, Amar Bekiva v'chima ba'azalam deinam. What is this pasuk here to teach us? Im l'chayev ali isha kish. If the pasuk is teaching us that there's no difference if the victim was a male or a female, you always, if a animal, if a mu'ud killed a person, you pay kaifer, harek fanemar. Ask the Gemara, the pasuk already said, So we already find that the Torah doesn't differentiate between men and women. Ella hakish ishalish. Ma ish nezakav liyarshav. The nezakim go to the yarshim of the, if the person obviously is not alive, who collects the payment, his yarshim. Af isha nezakav liyarshav. It goes to her yarshim and not to her husband. Ask the Gemara, the Sovereign Rekiva, La Yaris Labal, does Rekiva hold that the husband is not the Yarish of a wife? But ask the Gemara, Vatanya, doesn't the Pasuk, when it teaches us the Alocha of Yerusha, teach us the Yarish Asoi, Mikan Shabal Yarish Asishtoi? The Torah tells us that the husband is the Yarish of his wife. Divrei Rabbi Kiva, so why doesn't the husband collect the Yarshim? So the Shita asks a question. He asks, the Gemara is saying that it seems from here that we have a contradiction in the opinion of Rekiva. Rekiva is saying that the husband doesn't get the Nezakim, indicating that a husband is not a Yoyrish. Maybe, says the Shita, we should learn just the opposite. Rekiva, of course, learns the husband is the Yoyrish. Nezakim is an exception to the rule. So answers the Shita Mekubetzis that the Gemara is assuming that this Pasig is not to be understood as a special rule in Nezikin, but rather to teach us that a husband doesn't yashin his wife, says the Gemara. But actually, what we just said is actually the Halacha. Omer Shlok Shloim El B'Koifel. Yes, the Rekiva holds a husband yashin his wife. Koifer is different. Since the koifer is only paid, obviously, by definition, after the death of the victim, so the havele roi, and the aloche is, the ein abal noitel baroi kemoksav. Even though the aloche is that a husband is the yoirish of his wife, that's only on assets that were there at the time of death. But assets that come after the time of death, that aloche doesn't apply. My Tama, why, how do we know that you only pay kaifer after the death? Says the Gemara, So we see that the kaifer obligation only comes only after death. Says the Gemara of Nezikin, Lo Yomer Rabbi Kiva. Is that true that when we speak about Nezikin, Rabbi Kiva says that the wife, the husband doesn't yashin his wife, but Tanya, Hika Seisha. If somebody hurt a woman, hit a woman, and the children were miscarried, nois and tzav nezik v'tzal liisha, or the male of others labal, ain't a bal, if there is no husband, nois and liyarsha, ain't a isha, nois and liyarsha, if the tzav nezik don't go to the yarshim, oh, not to her husband. So they have no yarshim. So whoever's the first person to grab it, zaycha. So we see over here that the halacha is that by all other nizakim, the halacha is that the husband doesn't get it. Not just by kaifer. And says the Gemara, Amar Ravi here was speaking about a grusha. Amar Rav Nachman. Begrusha. That the halacha is, there's a special halacha that since she's a grusha, that's why she doesn't have a husband. So our Gemara had just taught us that when we speak about hilchos yerusha, there's a difference between roi or muchzor, something that was there at the time of death versus something that wasn't there at the time of death. So the question is, how do we know that a husband doesn't get the roi? It's based on a pasuk. The Gemara Masech Basra, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amar Alv, in Divrei Yomim. But so why do we need this pasuk of Kaifer? So the Rishonim Tosfos says that we can't bring a raya that Kaifer is by definition something that only comes after death. So that's why by kaifer, we would say the husband doesn't get it. Other things don't necessarily have to wait for after death. And that's why we would think that it's different. The halacha of kaifer going to the yarshim is, there's a question that the achroidim discuss. What are the mechanics of this? Doesn't mean that it belongs to the victim. But the victim isn't here anymore, obviously. So because the victim isn't here, it goes to the Yarshim. Or the Torah from the beginning said that it should go to the Yarshim. There's a machlokes here. The Or Sameach says that the Torah establishes that kaifer should be paid to the Yarshim. Reb Chaim Brisk and the Chazon Ish say that it goes belongs to the victim, and the victim is the one that passes it on, even though he's obviously not here anymore, to his yarshim. What is the nafkamina? The question will be, if this victim owed money to other people, he had a bal chayv, if we'll say that the money goes to the victim, and from the victim it goes to the yarshim, but if the victim owed money, so the people to whom they owed money have first claim to that money, and therefore they would be able to collect this money. If, however, the way we understand the Gemara, we understand this halacha, is it goes directly to the Yarshim, so then the Yarshim don't owe any money, and therefore they would not have to pay. There's another interesting question. Here we're learning about Roy Muchzuk. What is the halacha if somebody was owed money? So actually, there's this halacha which differentiates between roi and machzik, between money that was there at the time of death or money that only came after the time of death. Here we're learning is relevant to a husband, also is relevant to a bechor. That even though halacha is a bechor neitel pishnayim, a bechor gets a double shear in the Yerusha, the halacha that a bechor gets a double shear in the Yerusha is only b'muchzik, in what the father had at the time of death, not b'roi. So that means that let's say somebody owed the father money, and then after the father died, that debt was paid. In that, the Bechor doesn't get Pishnayim. In that payment, he doesn't get a double share. What's going to be the halacha regarding a husband? He was saying that a husband doesn't collect kofer. The Rishayim debate, what does that mean? Does that mean that the halacha that we just stated by Bechor that differentiates between Roy and Muchsik is also a halacha that applies to a husband, and that even though a husband is the Yorish of his wife, he's only a Yorish b'muchsik in what was there at the time of death, not b'roy, not in what comes after the time of death? That's one way of understanding. The other way of understanding is that kaifer is a very unique type of debt. Why is it such a unique type of debt? Because it's a debt that only could be roi. Because by definition, kaifer is paid when the victim dies. So that's where the Torah says the husband doesn't get it. But when we speak about a chayv could be paid before the wife died, or a chayv could be paid after the wife died. So even in this particular circumstance, if the chayv, the debt was only paid after the wife died, but that's not the same level of roi as kaifer. So maybe only by Bechor is the halacha that he's not entitled to pishnayim in such a case. But a husband would be entitled. The Gemara spoke about that, speaking about a grusha that doesn't have a husband. But of course, all the Rishonim point out, it's not just a grusha, it would, the same halacha would apply, obviously, by a mana. Amri, grusha nami lifak b'dmei velodis. If the case that we're speaking about here is a grusha, the Torah says that the mei velodis, the value of the children that were miscarried, go to the husband. So we understand if they're married, so the Torah says it belongs to the husband. But if this couple is not married, why should they not divide those dmei velodis, the two parents? Omra Papa, to which Rapapa says, there's a new halacha. HaTorah zichsa demei velodis labal. The Torah says the demei velodis belong to the father of these children. I feel ba'al abznos, even if they weren't married. My tama, what is the reason? The Torah says kashiyosus labal isha. The Torah gives this to the husband, to the one that's the father. Says the Gemara, according to Rav of Nachman, that said that the Bryce is speaking about a grusha. Why can't we explain for Nukma the Rabbi Kagon Shigovim Mos that they collected payment for the Nazik and Tsar, or Rav Nachman, or and they collected Karka, Damar Rava, Gova Karka? If Karka was collected, Yeshloi, then the Bechor gets Pishnayim. Gova Mos, but if they collected cash, Einloi. For Rav Nachman and Gova Mos, Yeshloi, Gova Karka, Einloi. For whatever we say in that machlokes, we should say here, says the Gemara, Amri, Hanimil Rav Aliv Drabonim, that in there's different cases of roi, if it's cash or real estate. But here we're passing like Rebbe. The Rebbe says anything that's roi doesn't go to the Bechor and doesn't go to the husband. There's a very interesting question where there was an individual, to give the exact story, where there was a Jew from Yerushalayim that served as a shaychet. And he was flying from Israel to South America to do a shechita. And there was an airplane accident, and he perished. And the question is that the company wanted to pay a large amount because of this terrible accident. And the question that was brought to Mechas Yitzchak, how do we divide up this money? Does it go to the almana, or does it go to the children? And when we speak about it going to the children, one of the children was a Bechor. And a Bechor, as we just learned, gets Pishnayim. The Mechas Yitzchak discusses the Shaila, and he says that we just learned in our Gemara that when we speak about a shar mud, the kaifer is given to the yarshim of the victim. And the Gemara also brought the pasuk, v'heimish isish isha, the halacha is that the money doesn't go to a husband, it goes to yarshim. So, ask that flaw that the halacha is that a husband only gets muchzik, not roi. So if that's the case, why should it be? Why do we need a special pasuk? So the answer is that one can make an argument that the victim's husband should get it, because the real yoirish is the husband. The Torah made a special rule that the kofer goes to yarshim. Why? Because it only, as we've been learning, the obligation only comes after the death. So here too, that if that's the case, as the Michas Yitzchak, in the case of the Shoichet, this money never belonged to the Nifter. It was not his money, because it's only paid after his death. Since it never belonged to the Nifter, so when it comes to Kaifer, so our Gemara has been very clear that the payment of Kaifer goes to the Yarshim, goes to her Yarshim, not to her husband, even though normally the husband would get the Yerusha. Here, we're not paying Kaifer. There is no Kaifer Bezman Hazeh. What is the payment? The payment in our Gemara, in this case, is what's known as Pitsuyim. The company is paying for the terrible accident that happened. It's hard to determine who is the one that gets the pitsuyim. An argument can be made that the children should get the pitsuyim because they are the yarshim. An argument can also be made that the wife, who now won't have a husband to support her, and that's why this payment is being made, because this loss of income that this alman is going to suffer for the rest of our life. And the Michas Yitzchak seems to say that the payment should be divided between the almana and the yarshim.